puts it all on the line and didn't have to. But she did. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but we've been talking about improbable heroes. Last time we talked about Enoch. Today we will talk about Abigail. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the many blessings you give us, and thank you for the lessons that we can learn through your wonderful word. Father, just open our hearts and our minds to the story of Abigail and Nabal and David, and we just pray that somewhere that in our hearts there's something that will touch us and we can take home and help us to grow in Jesus. Father, we thank you, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Samuel chapter 25. Samuel chapter 25. Beginning with verse 1. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. They buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man of Moab, who had property there at Carmel, was a very rich man. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite, which was a descendant of Caleb. But I love that they call him surly and mean. Mean and surly. And you'll see that he really is. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep, so he sent 10 young men and said to them, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours.' Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time, and when your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them, and in the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable towards my men. Since we come at a festival time, please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them." When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal the message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, "So is David. Who is the son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." So they did, and David strapped on his as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. It amazes me that there's times that we are end up in a place or situation that is not of our choosing. These situations can cause us to rise above our expectations and make us either step up or step back. When we look at this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 5, we have three characters. We have a future king of Israel, which of course is David. We have Nabal, and then we have Abigail. Now the whole story is this. And I love the Bible story. I just love the stories that you read and it just, we get glimpses in some of the lives and some of the actions and the characters that we see in the Bible. Samuel dies, and he's buried in Ramoth. So after the time of burial and the time of mourning, David leaves with 600 soldiers, hardened war soldiers, hardened men that have seen a lot of battle. They were tough men. They were men that you probably wouldn't want to mess with. And they were David's men. David ends up in Carmel. There ends up being a very rich man from Maon who had business, was in Carmel. That's where he had his sheep and his goats. And this man's name is Nabal. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was there in Carmel, and he was having a sheep shearing time. And it was that time of year where they come together and they shear all the sheep. You can imagine 3,000 sheep, and it's probably not just Nabal. Usually all the neighbors get together, the people who in the area all have sheep, they all come together and they all get their sheep sheared about the same time. So there's a lot of things that are going on, but particularly right here with Nabal. Nabal had several men working for him. And you think about what happens in the servant later tells Abigail this, that while they are the men were out with the sheep, there was a wall of soldiers that surrounded the sheep and all of the men that were Nabal and all the property and everything that Nabal owned. David's men created a wall of protection around them. So if you had raiding Midianites, or you had raiding Amalekites, or you had somebody coming through that wanted to steal the sheep, they had to get past David's men, and there's no way they could have done that because David's men were just too tough. And so whenever marauders would show up or thieves would show up, they would see these men surrounding Nabal's property, and then they would have enough sense not to do anything, and they go away. And so that's what David's men were there. They were there to protect them against thieves and roving armies and bandits or whoever else might be there. And that's what they're doing. And we don't know how long he does it. We don't know how long David takes care of it, but that's something he does. And that's pretty, you know, you've got 600 men who are used to fighting and in war. It's good to put them to work because you don't want men like that to be too idle. So they're up there and they're on guard duty is basically what they're doing. And we're talking to just, you know, hundreds of men up there. So after some time this is going on, David's men are getting hungry. Their supplies are getting down. So he sends 10 young men to Nabal. Tell you a little bit about the sheep shearing that was going on. It was like when they did sheep shearing, it was a festival. It was a great big old time of celebration and partying, a lot of eating, a lot of drinking. And it was a big time that they would have in celebration. And usually the owner of the sheep was always seen to be generous and hospitable. How does David know this? Because David was a shepherd. He knew exactly what was going on, and he knew what Nabal was doing, and he knew what the festivals, and he knew this is not a sanctioned festival by Israel. It's just something they did is sheep herders, when they started to shear, it was a big deal, and they all got together and had a great time, and it was a lot of hard work as they were shearing that many sheep. But David knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what Nabal was experiencing. You think about what David does. This type of hospitality is commonplace. Nabal is very, very rude. He is very, very rude. David sends his men to him. Nabal responds this way. In our kind of the way we look, this is what Nabal tells the men to tell David. David is nothing. He is nothing. He is a nobody. He's the son of Jesse, which means he is the son of nobody. And that his men that are with him are nothing more than runaway slaves. Now, that would kind of be insulting to us. But you think about that is such a great insult to David. And just to understand what happens, they come back and they explain this to David. Nabal insults him like he does. David loses his mind. He is so mad, he's ready to kill everybody. And that's what he turns to his soldiers, and he tells 400 of these young men to get your swords, get them strapped on. We're going to go teach Nabal a lesson. And David says that God, judge me, if I don't kill every man whether it's a slave, a servant, a descendant of Nabal, by morning. So his intent was to take those 400 men and completely wipe out Nabal and everything he had. So you see what kind of insult Nabal caused and how mad he made David. And I guess the insult to injury on it is because David was protecting his men and his sheep and his livestock and never asked for anything. He was just doing it, you know, as a kindness. And he thought Nabal would respond in kind, that he would be just as kind to David and his men as David and his soldiers were to him. So Nabal, you think about what kind of man he was. Oh, he was so arrogant. He definitely had anger issues. He was ungrateful. He was such a controlling man. He just plain mean and surly. I love that. Sarah says that's what she's going to put in my gravestone, mean and surly. He was mean and surly. Golly, that really tells you, this guy was not a nice guy, was he? And the sad thing is, and you think, well, why would Abigail marry somebody like this? This is just kind of a sidebar. But remember, they usually always had arranged marriages. So she didn't have a choice. She was stuck with this guy. And bless her heart. And she was going to have to pay the price for this man's arrogance. She steps in into the situation. And you can imagine here, Abigail, she never dreamed she would be in this situation. You never dreamed that you would be put in a situation like this. That here you are, your husband is out with the shears and he's doing something and you think everything's going good. Servant comes in and tells her just how rash Nabal was and how arrogant his behavior was and that it was going to cost them and it's going to cost her everything she had. So, what does Abigail do? Very intelligent lady. She takes, and this goes on if you want to finish reading in chapter 25, the rest of it. She takes 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep prepared, 5 shehas, or to us, 9 quarts of parched grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs. And so she takes off and puts this on a donkey and she takes off and she goes looking for David, and David is in a ravine. You know, he's got his army coming in that ravine and they were getting ready to sneak up on Nabal. The sad thing is in her life, you know, to me this is a great story of courage. Of courage of a woman who like we said, is thrown into something she didn't even dream of being in. But talk about courage. And you look at number 3. This is such a story of a courageous woman. Sad thing is, I see Abigail like a lot of women today. They're in a lot of, and no matter how wonderful the woman is, they often are in a toxic situation where the situation at home is toxic, dangerous, terrible that she must have lived in those conditions. So if Nabal treated everybody else like that, you can imagine how he probably treated Abigail. So there's 5 takeaways that I want us to think about as we look at the story of Abigail, David, and Nabal. 5 takeaways. Number 1, don't let fear keep you from going forward in what God has for you to do. No matter how difficult or trying the situation gets, God's power is greater than any of our circumstances. His power is greater than anything that we come up against. Don't let fear, number 4, don't let fear keep you from doing what God has for you and keep you going forward. Sometimes you feel so insignificant, even powerless. You know, some people are told their entire life that they are less than, and that's not true. I don't care who you are of value, you are special, you are greater than you can ever imagine that you are. And how dare anybody tell you or me or anyone else that we're less than, and we're not, and you are not. Abigail, you could see it, you think she's just a typical woman at home and minding her business. She really shows what she really is. She shows great wisdom. She acts quickly, swiftly, and humbly. And she goes before David. She took control of a very explosive situation. You can just imagine if Abigail did nothing, what would happen? There would have been a complete... He would have annihilated everybody, destroyed everything. She didn't sit back and blame her husband for the circumstances. She acted. She did do it, and I like her wisdom. She did it quietly. She goes and she meets David. She had no idea what to expect. They all knew David. They all knew David's men. They all knew David's ability. They all knew David's skill as a leader and as a soldier. And I imagine if she's coming up and approaching David, she's probably scared to death because she doesn't know what he's going to do to her. The Bible says Abigail came up to David and she bows down to the ground and she asks, she pleads for forgiveness on the behalf of her husband and her entire household. And I think it's a wonderful thing when you look at David, who is known for his strength, his power. He uses little Abigail to pull him in and make him think that the revenge is not what he needed to do. His temper got the better of him. But God uses Abigail to keep him from making a terrible mistake. You can imagine if you know, David's known for killing warriors and soldiers. What would it be like if David was known for killing innocent sheep shearers and innocent workers? If that got around, how would that destroy his witness or his future in what God had in store? So God not only was helping Abigail, he had the strength to meet David, but he was using her to stop David from doing something incredibly terrible that he almost did. A tragedy, a travesty. I can only imagine how Abigail must have felt, how anxious she must have been. Again, she had no idea what David was going to do. She had to look beyond herself, and oftentimes when God is telling us to do something, God wants us to do something, we have to look beyond ourselves. We have to look beyond what we think are shortcomings, because God has, if he's preparing you for something, he's going to give you all that you need in order to accomplish what needs to be done. She goes to David and she seeks peace. She seeks peace. And it works. You think about, here she comes. Number two, you think about being humble and kind and seeking peace with others is always the right course of action. Being humble and kind and seeking peace with everybody around us is always the right course of action. When you see people who come together that are headstrong to be right, what usually happens? Nothing good. When you got two people come together that are very humble and very, very soft acting and ready to actually talk, anything can happen. So when we go to people with humbleness and kindness and seeking peace with them, it may not always work. But if we need to always try, she had the courage and the strength to shoulder the blame for something she did not do. she stood in the gap for her family, her husband, and her the men there in her camp. Number three, you think about our words and our actions can be powerful. You think about that. The third takeaway is you think about your words and your actions can be very, very powerful. We need to look to the bigger picture. Do we always have to be right? Who has to always be right? Are you always right? No. No. But boy, some people will fight tooth and nail to be right even if they know the wrong. We need to choose the words and our actions. I imagine Abigail is going through her mind exactly what is it I'm going to ask David or tell David that'll save everybody's life. She had to be very, very, very careful at what she was doing. Every word she spoke and every action she took meant something. She could have either, you think about this, and this oftentimes we don't think about this, but you can fan the fire or put water on it, put it out. She could have fanned the fire. She could have gone to David and said, yeah, David, that my husband is a sorry, no good man. Yes, he needs to be killed. Yes, you're at every right that you can do whatever you want to do. Just let me get my people out of the way, and you go in there and do what you want, and I'll finally get rid of Nabal. But that's not what she does. She doesn't fan the fire. And some people like to fan the fire just to watch things burn, don't they? There's a lot of people like that, just like to see things burn. But Abigail's not that way. She was there with a huge bucket of water to try to put the fire out. You look at this situation, if you stand back and you look at what's going on, you see that God is in total control. He gives Abigail the courage to do what she needed to do. She gives David the wisdom, or he gives David the wisdom to know that he should not do something. But then there's Nabal. There's Nabal. But aren't you glad God is in control of all things? He's in control of all events. He's bigger than anything that you and I can imagine. He's bigger than anything that you and I will ever deal with. David knew God, fought for him, and now he knew that he was fighting for Abigail. Fourth takeaway. Someone who is a true warrior is both loyal and faithful and always thinking of others before themselves. Even if you're a true soldier, doesn't mean you always have to use your sword. If you're a true soldier, doesn't mean that you always have to attack and beat down and kill and maim people. You can be loyal and you can be faithful, but you can always must think about the situation and think about others. As warriors of Jesus, our job is not to go around and cut people down. We have to think about it. We have to wonder about it. We have to seek God for what He would have us to do. Because too many Christians are in the business of taking their sword and cutting people down. Does that work? That never works. Abigail wasn't a fighter. She wasn't a warrior. She was a woman who trusted that God would work that situation out, and He does. She was thinking about who she loved. She was thinking about how loyal she was to God. She was thinking about how God needed to protect her family in this situation, because if not, it was going to be a mess. But she knew if she could convince David, she put aside her pride, she put aside her wealth, she put aside her prestige, she put aside everything that she was, and she humbled herself before David. And we gave you the list of everything that she gave David and his men as a peace offering for Nabal. Number five, the last takeaway. Always remember that God will fight for you. and that we are never alone. As long and we have to listen to Him. God fought for Abigail in a different way. No swords, no armor, no daggers, no this, no that. Arrows or horses or chariots. He fought for Abigail in a different way. He didn't leave her alone. He gave her favor with David. God works it all out. He saved Nabal for now. He saved his entire household. And towards the end of the passage, Abigail uses a little more wisdom. That night, you know, they've been drinking and partying and celebrating and stuff. And Nabal was drunk. Abigail doesn't tell Nabal what she did. She doesn't tell him what she did until the next morning when he sobers up. Because you can imagine what Nabal would have done if he was drunk, and the way he is, he would have probably hurt Abigail. Or worse. So being unpredictable while drinking and with his temper, she waits until daybreak. She tells Nabal what happened. It says that his heart went stiff. He must have had a heart attack. He was so mad. When she tells him what she did, he is so mad. The Bible says that he went stiff, and then 10 days later, God took him. God took his life 10 days later. And when verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be to the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has returned the evil doing of Nabal upon his own heart. So the lesson David learns here is that my actions could have been rash. God restored took the insult away. God punished the insulter. God kept me from doing something terrible. And it's all going to work out. You know what happens to Abigail? She marries David. She becomes one of his wives. And he takes care of her. And I imagine everything that Abigail had, probably she saved it all, saved the life of everybody there. And it's just amazing. You don't see her as a, you know, up there with Samson or Noah or Moses. But she is a hero. She saved the lives of hundreds of people. And she kept David from doing something terrible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings. Thank you that when we look at the life of Abigail, Father, how we as Christians, we can do the same thing. We can listen to you, do you what you'd have us to do, and come at every situation with a humble heart. Not with aggression, not with anger, not with revenge, but come at it with humbleness in seeking you in the situations. Father, we just ask that you, if there's anything in anybody's heart this morning, they need to just set straight and give to you, whether they're holding a grudge or they're just mad at somebody, help them to just turn it over to you. And not pick it up and just get forgiveness and move on. And Father, if we need to forgive somebody, I pray today would be the day we just forgive them. So we can move on and be healthy, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. Father, we just give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ms. Gail, what hymn do we have?
317.
Let's all stand.
Holy Trust.